Now I want to take from my text tonight verses 20 and 21. These are very familiar words of Scripture. And I suppose the emphasis is often on verse 19 where it's the negative, lay not up. But I want you to turn to the words that say, but lay up. You have a job to do. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to divide this two verses into three sections. Speak about three points. I know you're here to hear about the credit crunch. We're not going to dodge the issue. We're going to deal with that too, but in the context of this scripture. Three things. First thing, a means to lay up. I've called that an essential exchange. An essential exchange. Number two, a secure store where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. A secure store. And point number three, a trustworthy treasure. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be too. The essential exchange, the secure store, and the trustworthy treasure. That will be our three points in this text. And we'll come back to that. But I know you're here, as I say, to listen to something about the credit crunch. This is a week of youth meetings. Glad to see the youth here. I see a few youths who can get on the bus for nothing as well. We're very glad that they're here too. Now, the credit crunch. 12 months ago, if you'd have been going about talking about the credit crunch, then I thought you'd come from another planet. The term didn't exist. We wouldn't have understood what it meant. But now you can hardly get into the news bulletin and you're faced with the credit crunch. It's everywhere. It's a bonanza for the media. So we want to look first of all and try and see, what is this credit crunch? What does the term mean? Well, we could fill this room with experts and pundits, and they'd all have their reasons, and we'd listen to them all, and maybe you have listened to them all on the radio and television. You'd go away with your head spinning. The credit crunch essentially is this. The monetary system that's in use is flawed. It's corrupt. It cannot be trusted. And in a word, the banks are bust. That's what the credit crunch is. Now we'll expand on this and we'll explain it a little bit more. But the banks are bust. Now, I see a banker in a meeting tonight, so he might have a rough time. But anyway, can you believe that a bank can go bust? Now if I set you up in a bank and said, you be a banker, it's hard to see how you could feel. And here we have all round the globe, in America, in Europe, in the UK. The banks are all in trouble, all at the same time. And there's no money. And it's going to take billions and billions and billions of dollars and pounds and euros to sort it out. How could all the banks fail at once? Does that not strike you as a little bit strange? One bank, yes, possibly. But all the banks at the same time? This seems to me like it's engineered. You can make your own mind up. But why should a bank ever lose money? How can a bank lose money? It's a little bit more than a coincidence. Now, how did we get to this position? How we managed to get ourselves here? How can money fail? Because that's really what's happening. Well, we need to understand first what money is. Now, maybe you don't have a problem with that. You're quite comfortable with what's in your purse or your wallet, or maybe you're not. But we need to understand money is an idea backed by confidence. It's an idea backed by confidence. Now, at the end of this meeting, our brother Gary will have a handout because I don't have the time to expand on the points that I will make here, but they'll be dealt with in the handout. So please pick that up, and it will help you and guide you on some of the points that we're making here. We use pieces of paper to represent purchasing power, but that's all they are. They're pieces of paper. They're just tokens of wealth. And it takes faith in the piece of paper to keep the monetary system going. And all that keeps the money system going is faith in that medium. I'm going to prove that to you. And I'll show you that you have faith in it. This is a fiver. I had to borrow this from my wife tonight. Make sure and bring it back, she said. We've all seen these. And maybe we've studied them. But there's a line on it. Fairly small print. And this is what it says. It says, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £5 in this case. And it's on the £10 note and the £20 note. It's on all the notes. And it says aye. And there's a picture of the Queen. So maybe right on assuming, well, the Queen, Elizabeth, she gave us £5 sterling silver for this. That's a promise. Well, let me tell you, you go to Buckingham Palace and you go up to the gate and you say, I have my £5 of sterling silver. You'd probably spend the night in the cells. And after that, you'll probably go to the lunatic asylum. Because nobody actually believes this. Nobody really believes that you can turn this into £5 of sterling silver. It's a fraudulent promise of convertibility. It's just a piece of paper. And it was never more true that it's not worth more than the piece of paper that it's written on. You can't convert this into anything, only another one. It's a fraudulent promise. Now, if I have convinced you that it's a fraudulent promise, you leave any of these that you have in the basket at the door of the night and we'll see what they're disposed of. And you're all laughing because you really do believe in this piece of paper, don't you? You have faith in the piece of paper. Because that's what we've been taught. But money today, what we know as money and what we treat as money, is in an electronic form. Money is electronic. You don't carry notes and coins around to pay for everything. We've got online banks. We've got pieces of plastic that you stick in a machine and you put in a PIN number. And that's money. Money is more than just notes and coin. But the problem with money today is it's a commodity. It's just like oil or cereal or precious metal. Money is a commodity. And there's a market in money. People deal in money. And this is the basic reason for the credit crunch. Money has become divorced from real, true wealth. It doesn't represent anything. It is just a piece of paper, and we all believe in it. And there's electronic money going up and down cables and optic fibers all over the world. And wealth is transferred like that. That's money today. Notes and coin are no more than 3%. Of all the money that's in circulation. Money is in an electronic form. Now, I've said money is a commodity. And the dominant form of money today is credit. Or a better word still, debt. Money is debt. Money and debt are the same thing. No money is issued today unless it's debt. We'll expand on that a wee bit later. And that problem is compounded because somebody has a monopoly on creating debt. Now, this is where this problem all comes from. If I have a monopoly on a commodity that there's not enough of and that everybody wants, then I can control things. I can make things happen. And today, that's exactly what money is. It's a monopoly that's under the control of certain interests. And they're not the interests you may think. And we'll deal with that too. But let me give you an example of how credit or debt is divorced from what we may think about as real money or wealth. Say you want to buy yourself a new car. Well, all you have to do today, at least up until recently anyway, was get on the phone and speak to someone at the other end of the line. Tell them how much you wanted to borrow. They made a few checks, a few taps on the keyboard. They come back and say, certainly, sir, that money will be in your bank in the next 3 working days. And you could get 20, 25, 30,000 into your bank. Now, nobody in the bank went down to the vaults, opened the door and checked, do we have this money so that we can lend Mr. So-and-so? No, it doesn't work like that. What they issue you is an illusion. It's debt. It's not backed by any real tangible wealth. And as you multiply that again and again and again, you build up huge debts. And then when somebody says, I'm going to lift the ball, I'm not going to play anymore, we have a credit crunch. That's how it comes about. And money's available on demand from central bankers. Now, we've all heard Mr. Brown and George Bush and the Senate and Washington and everywhere else. All these government leaders make statements, hey, sort the problem out. They bail out the banks. They'll issue millions, billions of, not money, debt. And you know who's responsible for that debt? The taxpayers of the nations. It's not the banks that have been nationalised. It's you and me, the taxpayer. We're nationalised. Money is available on demand from central banks. Now we're getting closer to the problem here. The central banks. You would be forgiven for thinking that the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve in America are owned and controlled by the government. That's not so. That is not so. They are private institutions. Now, if you investigate this technically, you will be told, yes, the government owns these institutions. And that can be true at a push. But they may own them, but who controls them? It's who controls them that's important. And these institutions are in private hands. So it's not the government who issues money. It's the private institutions off to the side of the government. You don't vote for the members of the Bank of England. America doesn't vote for the members of the Federal Bank. They're not part of the government institution. May appear so. May not be discussed very freely. But they're not part of the government. They're private institutions. The concept of money has been abused on a wide scale. Inflation is simply the result of money being manipulated. Oh, prices go up and this and that, and you know, the price of oil is up and it's all over the place. That's nothing to do with supply and demand. That's manipulation of the markets, the people who make the markets. Widespread abuse. We've all heard of hedge funds. It's basically gambling. Two of the biggest gambling casinos in the world. There's one in London. It's called the City of London. And the other one's in Wall Street in America. And huge fortunes are made and lost by speculators, gamblers. And where do they get this money? It's all debt. Debt that's turned over and over again. Money is an essential means of exchange. We can't do without money to improve the standard of living. But it's a means of exchange that's corrupt. And the banks are insolvent. They're bust. I want to bring you back to my verse. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. I want to talk now about another exchange. An essential exchange. Just as you need an exchange in this world, you need an exchange in the spiritual world. There can be no spiritual life without this means of exchange. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How can it be done? We can't come to heaven, let alone put anything in there. But listen, friends, heaven has come to us. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great exchanger and the essential exchange. We need to come to that exchange. How is Christ the great exchanger? Well, did He not lay aside His glory? Was He not found in fashion as a man? Took upon Him the form of a servant? Endured the cross? Despised the shame? He exchanged His glory for you and I. Have we seen that? Have we recognized that? The great exchanger. And He came and dwelt among us. He exchanged His glory for His humiliation. He bore such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Well, let me give you a few good thoughts. Jesus Christ is the only means by which we can lay up treasure in heaven. He is the heavenly treasure. And what do you think of this? And you can follow it up later in your own private study. Do you think of all the things Christ takes from you and gives you in exchange? I'll give you one or two. Romans 6:23, well-known verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, there's a great exchange, isn't it? Life for death. Christ takes our death and gives us life. You'll find it again in Ephesians 2, but you have the quickened. You were dead in trespasses and in sins. There's another one in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Lovely exchange. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. His righteousness for our sin. What a lovely exchange that is. And here's one that I like. Over in Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What a profound exchange that is from Christ. Himself for me. At the cross it was Him for me. As He walked through life and kept all the commandments of God in thought and word and deed, it was Him for me. When He rose from the tomb, it was Him for me. When He pleads in heaven, it's Him for me. When He comes again, it'll be Him for me. What a lovely exchange, friends. And if you want a good Bible study, you go through all those things and you find out all the things that Christ takes from you and gives you in exchange. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. These are the things that Christ exchanges with us. How can we come to Him? Do we bring anything? No. Isaiah 55. What does it tell us there? It's without money and without price. In the exchanges of this world, you come with nothing. That's exactly what you get. Nothing. There's nothing for nothing. But in the exchange of Christ, we have all the riches of Christ for nothing, given freely. Right? Ever since the Garden of Eden, when He exchanged the fig leaves for the animal skins, our Saviour's been the great exchanger. He's still exchanging today. Life for death. Himself for you. Have you been to the great exchange? Have you found Christ? Is He yours? Talk about getting rid of toxic acids today. Well, let me tell you, from the crown of the head to the sole of our feet, our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Toxic acid, that's me. But I've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. Praise His name. It's the work of God in any sense to make us rich. The great exchange is where it happens. Now we've looked at the reason for the credit crunch, the faulty monetary system. Well, look at the risk from the credit crunch now. The reason and the risk What's the risk of this credit crunch? Is this something that you can casually ignore, disregard? Hasn't really affected you in any great way, perhaps. Life goes on. You're not too interested in the news. Does this credit crunch affect you? Well, it's not something you can ignore. We've already noted how money is created by banking institutions or central banks, and they're not part of the government. And the easy way to prove that is the bank bailout. What other industry would the government bailout? Let's let all our industries go. We've lost the textile industry. We've lost the shipbuilding industry. We've lost engineering. We've lost a multitude of industries that our fathers and grandfathers worked in. They weren't bailed out. Now, we've gone to other parts of the world. All part of the manipulation, isn't it? All part of that. But we can bail the banks out. Banks that should never have lost money in the first place. Banks that have created money through deception and lending on the basis of fractional reserve lending. It's in the handout. Read it. See how money is actually created. But the government has bailed the banks out. It's the other way around, friend. The government doesn't control the banks. The banks control the government. That's why they're getting bailed out. They pull the strings. Remember, if you control the commodity, you call the shots. You print the money. You make the rules. That's what the banks have done. And the risk from the credit crunch is that this monopoly is a medium of control over nations and over societies. As simple as that. Any bank tomorrow could be closed if those in power decided we're going to pull the rug. There's no bank solvent. And no bank guarantee is worth anything. All these guarantees you hear about, don't bank on them. If they're ever called, you'll never see your money because there is no money. A fallible money system could have a hidden agenda. Now, I was talking to a pensioner and he said to me, I was forced, that's quite a good word, very accurate word, I was forced to get a bank account. And let me ask you, how far could you go today without a bank account? How economically viable would you be without your bank account? You won't go very far. You won't go very far. And you see, and over there in Revelation chapter 13 and 17, it says about no man may buy or sell, save he had the mark and the name of the beast. Now, I don't want to get into any speculation, but I'm telling you now, it's very difficult to buy and sell without your bank account. You need a bank for that. And when you go there, you're under the control of these institutions. Now, the hidden agenda that could be there, whoever creates and issues a nation's wealth has total power and control, even sovereignty, over that nation. So here's a question for you to think about. Do you live in a democracy or a financial dictatorship? You can think about that before you go to sleep tonight. See if you can answer it. Controlling the money supply is what creates boom and bust. And we live in what would be called a prosperous country. But there's debt everywhere. There's national debt of billions and billions. And there's commercial debt, the money that companies own. Oh, and there's personal debt, which is skyrocketing. Debt's everywhere. And yet we're in a prosperous country. All the industrialized nations are in debt. And the third world is in debt. Is everybody not in debt? See, this is a form of control. Very powerful. And as we've seen recently, very vicious. And it can lead to wealth transference. Take an example of your house. You can't pay your mortgage and you need a small print. You know, you're in danger this will be repossessed. It's happening to people. It's for real. Now, a house is a place to live, a place of security, a place to bring your family up. And if you think about a house like that, the price of the house doesn't really matter that much. It's there for a purpose. But what have we seen in our own country, even in the last few years? Oh, house prices are going up £1,000 a day and £10,000 a month, and they've gone up 4 or 5 times in the last 10 years. No, it's not the price of your house, it's not, it's the value of your money that's come down. And then when somebody pricks the bubble, oh, we've all lost money. We bought when the price was high, we've got a big mortgage, now our house is only worth this, and we can't meet the payments. Wealth transference. And it's all because the money system can be manipulated. The value of a house shouldn't move if your money system is reliable. But it has. Your wealth is safe nowhere. Nowhere. No bank. But let me take you to a secure store. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Here's the secure store. Heaven is the only safe depository for your riches. Absolute security and unchangeability in heavenly riches. But listen, there are no man-made riches in heaven. You not carry any wealth in there. There's a hymn that says, there is a city bright, closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth, can ever enter in. That's heaven. God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's our treasure. All is to be found in our Saviour. He can provide all things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's it. He's a secure store. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. A constant measure. God can never be impoverished. Doesn't matter how much he gives you. His store is still full. And the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. And they're great and precious. What about that for a store? The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from all sin. It's not changing. The Saviour said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's security. Total and absolute. We know what this treasure is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we lay it up? Well, first of all, you need to get to a point where you recognize the existence of this treasure. That God has made provision for your way. And you get there when you recognize how wretched and filthy and guilty you were. Before I was saved, I never knew just how vile a sinner I was. But God opened my eyes. And then I could see what it was. And how it offended greatly against the Holy God. Then there was the existence of the treasure came before me, the Lord Jesus. And there's the estimate of the treasure. You need to estimate Christ above all else if you're going to lay it up. The embracing of the treasure. How will we embrace it? How will we grab it? By hearing the word, by reading the scriptures, by praying, by exercising faith. Then there's the evidence of the treasure. Show it by your trust in God and your good works. There's an interest rate in heaven, you know. That's published in the book. No way you should go to the Halifax and the Northern and the interest rate published. There's one in here. And it's far better than any that they have. Christ says, Matthew 19, verse 29. Your good deeds will be rewarded 100-fold. If you do 100 good deeds, Christ will give you 10,000 rewards. That's 10,000%. If you find a better rate of interest, not let me know, will you? That's God's reward. 100-fold. And you can show the evidence of your treasure by your good works. Won't save you, but you'll get your reward in heaven. And then there's the experience of the treasure. Set your desires and your affections in the Lord. Employ your time and your talents to the glory of God and the good of your fellows. And be good stewards of what the Lord has provided you with. The secure store, the Lord Jesus Christ. The essential exchange, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've looked at the reason for the credit crunch and the risks of the credit crunch. Finally, the remedy for the credit crunch. We have said that money is a necessary means of exchange. Can't really go very far without something acting as a form of money. But we've said that the money system we have today is corrupt. It's based on debt. All new money issued is debt. When the central bank gives the government money, it charges a rate of interest. That's all that means. Somebody has to pay that rate of interest. That's you and me. We need a reliable monetary system which has to represent the ability of a community to create wealth. That's how you fix the money system. No great magic about it. But you see, if you're powerful enough and big enough, you can control even a branch of science. Now, there's an old joke about the professor in the university, the lecturer in economics. When he showed the students the exam paper, he said, "Sir, these are the same questions as last year." He says, "I know that." He says, "But the answers have changed." Now, if that was any other branch of science, that would be declassified as a branch of science. And there's a certain degree of truth in that. But powerful interests can obscure and hide the simple facts. Money doesn't grow in trees. We all know that. But money needs to be established in law. The law of the land has to decide what money is. At the moment, that's not the case. No. As long as you're in the banking fraternity, you can create money by fractional reserve lending and expand the money supply endlessly. Endlessly. And create more debt on top of debt. Money is not established by law. It needs to be. Certain former systems based on gold standard and silver were established by law. They were. But those have all passed away now. Those have all been set aside. Private banks should not be allowed to create money through the lending system. They can lend money, but they can't relend the credit that's deposited with them. See, when you borrowed that 30 grand to buy that car, and you took it down and you put it into the dealer, he put it in another bank, and then the bank used fractional reserve lending and lent that credit off again, and it all spun round and grew and grew and grew. So there's more and more debt in the system. New money needs to be spent into circulation by the government. Not borrowed as debt. If you want to build a hospital, well, that's fine. The money should be put into the system to pay for the hospital, given to the builders, given to the suppliers, and circulated in the economy. Without debt. That's the key thing. Government money issued without debt will solve this problem. But if you let the private institutions keep on issuing money with debt, it will never go away. So you have a monetary system that's then based on tangible wealth. See, the 26 county government, they were first in the bandwagon saying, "We guarantee all the money in the banks." It's a joke. If that guarantee was called tomorrow, it's not worth anything. You never get your money. Because there's no money there. No tangible wealth there. So it won't work. Effectively, what's happened is government by the people has been lost. That's how we're in this situation. Remember that question I asked you, do you live in a democracy or a financial dictatorship? You're governed by plutocrats, wealthy individuals, people who control the money supply. You ever wonder why successive governments are much the same? Profoundly inept at sorting out any of society's problems. Conservatives, Labour, Democrats, Republicans, doesn't really make any difference, does it? You know, the old problems roll on, no change. But remember who makes the rules of society. It's not the government. Remember the people who issue the money. He who prints the money makes the rules. Placing any trust in the government to solve the problem will bring you disappointment. I don't need to convince you of that, friends. That's there for all to see. But let me bring you to the last point about the Saviour. The trustworthy treasure. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want your heart to follow your treasure. Your heart will follow your treasure. Whether your treasure's in heaven or here on earth, your heart will follow it. If your time and attention's taken up with the amusements, this world, the entertainments of this world, the pleasures of this world, that's your treasure. Because that's where your heart is. A heavenly treasure given by the essential exchange, placed in the secure store. Is it trustworthy? Can you trust the Saviour? Man was lost in sin, facing death and eternity apart from God. There was no requirement on our Lord, no obligation to do anything for man. When the angels fell, he showed no mercy. But he showed mercy to fallen man. Showed mercy to fallen man. Can you trust that? A God who had no obligation, who let us see his glory, placed himself upon a cross. Oh, you can trust that. And we look into heaven tonight. You read about it in Revelation chapter 5. There's a song being sung. The great angel asks, who is worthy? And all the elders say, thou art worthy. And all heaven sings, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, he's a trustworthy treasure, all right. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands have all got this song on their lips. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is our Saviour. When we were lost, our great guarantor, the Lord Jesus, stepped forward and he interposed himself on our behalf. Guaranteed that he would pay for our sins. Friends, that guarantee was called at Calvary. And it was paid in full. And if you want the evidence of that, it's the empty tomb. It was accepted, paid in full. Our great guarantor has secured our salvation. If you're not saved tonight, you open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you bring him in. And you take the heavenly treasure. Without money and without price. Why would you seek this world's amusements and diversions? Make a store of earthly treasure that's soon to perish. Is that where you're going to be? Is that what you're going to have on the last day? You rely on the systems of mankind to deliver. Come to the essential exchange, the secure store, and the trustworthy treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. Amen.